is Digital Marketer. This week, it's Ross Paquette. Ross is the founder and CEO of Maripost, one of the top marketing automation companies. On this week's show, using AI to understand your customer, creating systems to automate your business and save you time, and how to set yourself up for success by using tools that you won't grow out of. All right, here's Garrett and Ross.
Well, Ross, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I want to kind of go back to the beginning. Will you kind of take us back and tell us the story of kind of what led you to make the leap from employee to entrepreneur?
So I started my career in the email marketing space. So coming from companies that were selling both low cost and enterprise software within that area. So to companies sending out, you know, mass email campaigns and using marketing automation to communicate with their customers. And the common theme that sort of came up was the service side of things. You know, we had a lot of customers, they were spending a lot of money on the platforms that I was selling, but the service and support side of things was really lacking across the board. And when I say across the board, whether that was just from a day-to-day management perspective, whether that was from a response time perspective, whether that was from a deliverability perspective, which is a bit more unique to that market, mm-hmm. It was really just underserviced. So my goal was never to launch my own company, as in I didn't aspire to launch a company or to get into the technology space for that matter. So I went from kind of a couple of roles within that space and started off as a very junior sales rep, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I went on to become a director of sales inside of about 12 months. So while I was sort of doing that, of course, I was understanding our customers and understanding the products that were out there and the technology that was available. And so when I went to the second role after that, I really decided, you know, I can probably get 10 customers, have a nice lifestyle business, provide them with a great level of support and maybe sit by the pool all day long.
Yeah.
Granted, there hasn't been as much of that lately or over the last 6 years.
Yeah.
It'll slowly come back. But that was really that focal point. And I was actually working at the same time that I was starting Maripost as well. You know, so it really gave us a unique component of being a bootstrap company as opposed to having gone out and raised capital and so on. But we went from, of course, having those 10 clients, as I mentioned, to having hundreds of clients very quickly. So it was really just a unique leap in terms of understanding what I wanted to accomplish from, you know, again, from more of a lifestyle perspective, from a customer perspective, of course, as well. And then, of course, moving into the role that I'm in today.
So obviously, Maripost has evolved immensely over the years. But can you kind of go back to the beginning and like, what was the initial idea for Maripost and how has it truly evolved since its conception?
So it was what I would classify as, you know, more advanced technology today and what I would have 7 years ago are of course, vastly different. But again, the starting point was that service and support. So I'm not going to say it's easy by any means, but what we were originally looking to accomplish from a technology perspective was much easier than what we are doing today. So it was, you know, have a simple, easy to use platform that our customers can log into and send out campaigns. And again, thinking of that initial focus around the service and support. So just be able to guide them and help them and take them down a better path and be there because it is a revenue generating tool, be there for them when they run into issues or they have critical launches or strategies that they need to implement. That was the start. You know, now we're very much focused on that end-to-end customer communication side of things. So whether it's email, whether it's social, whether it's online, whether it's product recommendations, whether it's acquisition, whether it's app or push or in-app notifications as well. And then we, of course, have also gotten into the CRM, the commerce, the service support sides of things. So it's evolved immensely to be less marketing and even less marketing automation and more customer engagement in, you know, kind of single customer view and understanding how to better sell and market to those customers that you do have.
Yeah. So right out of the gate, at least according to all of the literature out there on Maripost, you know, since the beginning, Maripost has really seen explosive growth, filling that need that the market needed at the time. So as you were growing and as you were going through those growing pains, what steps did you really take to maintain that growth and build a team around your company to enable that growth to continue?
So in the early stages, growing wasn't the focus.
Yeah.
Probably sounds a little odd, as in it wasn't the focus. And so we were doing so well with our customers and for our customers, and we were growing that we just kept actioning the same strategy. So when I say that, we grew a lot by referral. You know, we didn't have an advanced marketing team or an advanced sales team. We really only had one or two salespeople. So we grew again based on that strong service and support and that strong kind of platform aspect that we set out to focus on. You know, we're maintaining and building the team for growth. That actually has come a lot more recently. So in the last 12 to 24 months, building a strong leadership team has, of course, been and become a critical focus of that. Do I wish I had taken a few steps back and maybe done that earlier? Probably. Gives people a little more time to learn the space and the technology in those areas. But that certainly is critical, especially as we move into the next stages. But in those initial growth stage, it was just ensuring that we invested more in the service and support side of things and more in the infrastructure and really the systems that we were putting in place so that, you know, a smaller team could do a lot with, of course, a little, so to speak. So making sure we were looking at server infrastructure that could scale to any level so that our customers would never run into problems where platforms are crashing or people are running into issues with sending out campaigns. And we still see a lot, not Mariposa, but we still see a lot of that in the industry. And I'm really glad we made those investments early on to make sure we could, again, maintain that growth and maintain that scalability factor.
No doubt. Laying that foundation and future-proofing your company. So important.
Yeah, so very important.
So your company exists to support and enable an industry that, without a doubt, is ever-changing. So I always like to dig deep into the idea of, like, how do you and your team stay one step ahead to really set yourself up for that future amidst the world of inevitable change?
I mean, focusing on the creativity side of things is, of course, the only solution to that. The stronger the ideas that we have are, which sounds like some terrible grammar there, but the stronger those ideas are, of course, the further ahead they're going to push us. And thinking beyond, you know, I'll give you an example. So again, we started off in this sort of single channel area being the email marketing space. Then we moved into the marketing automation space because, you know, customers, of course, want to send out communication that's more one-to-one. And then we got into additional channels like social and app because they want to do cross-channel. And then again, you start to factor in some various other areas to think about the overall marketing program. The faster you can look at that, you know, or think in that format, or at least have the ideas or the concepts of what that would look like, the faster, of course, you're going to be future-proofing yourself and also, of course, solidifying a stronger customer relationship. If we had remained in that one channel, anyone looking for marketing automation, anyone looking for in-app messaging, anybody looking for acquisition builders or strategies, they're going to start to look at other products. And maybe those other products are moving in that direction that I mentioned before. So for me, always being literally 24, 36 months out from where today's vision is or today's product offering is, that's really the critical aspect. It's not that we want to remain in one spot and that even though we could do very well in that one spot, it's where is our customers, where is our path going to take us? And I think that also relates to how individuals build their companies, right? A lot of people plan to build their company and sell it. A lot of people want to go IPO as fast as humanly possible. A lot of individuals have to raise capital every 3, 6, 12 months just to stay alive. And you know, I would rather think about it as, you know, if you want to build a great organization, think about that 24 months ahead and what these areas need to look like.
So speaking of the industry and being as close to it as you are, could you kind of look into your crystal ball and share some of your thoughts on where you kind of think the world of marketing is moving as we look into the 2019 and beyond that?
I mean, one of the core areas that, again, and this thankfully relates to Mariposa, but one of the core areas is certainly the single customer view, right? A lot of people are talking about this. There's not a lot of products, if any, that actually do it, as in you can think of it as sort of CRM and maybe thinking more to the digital marketer community, B2C CRM, given, you know, the bulk are focused on the B2C space. Having that understanding of this is who Ross is or this is who Garrett is, you know, as a customer over the last 5 months or a customer over the last 5 years, as an example, is really becoming critical. And it's not about them as an individual, though it certainly can be for your service teams, for your sales teams, for your commerce teams, but understanding those groups of customers or personas or whatever we want to call it in a more simplistic manner, as in I don't want to have 6 applications or 60 applications tell me who my best customers are. I want to have one.
Right.
And I want
that
one application to be able to tell me that because they are either aggregating all the information about Garrett or about Ross into a single area and then allowing us to analyze that or allowing us to analyze 500 or 5,000 Ross or Garretts and where do they fit. To me, that's going to be critical, again, because of how focused companies have to be or organizations have to be now on the customer experience, right? The customer experience is no longer just, okay, Ross purchased something from us. How are we supporting him after the fact? It's the customer experience from literally he just found out about Digital Marketer. He just found out about Mariposa. How do we again, move him through the process and the process after purchase and the process to purchase again and again and again and have that great experience. So that's definitely one of the kind of critical areas. The second, and I'm always hesitant to just even use the term AI because it's thrown around too loosely these days, but using AI for that same or machine learning for that same example I just provided is in that analysis of, again, your customer behaviors, both pre and post sale or purchase, depending on how you want to look at it. To me, that is going to be critical. Something that we are working on right now that I probably shouldn't share, but I will anyway, is using machine learning AI to, again, create those personas for you.
Right.
And so what a lot of companies are doing is they're saying, you know, I think this is my best customer. I think these are my top 10 best types of customers, right? And so now how do we market to each of those groups? Well, what we found is that in a lot of cases, what people think their best customer groups are is maybe not opposite is the wrong word to use, but very much different from what they expected.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's no way Ross or Garrett or any other individual can analyze that amount of data and really tell you. So I do believe that moving in the direction where AI is going to make those very specific recommendations to you and of course, back that up with information behind it, that's going to be critical from a crystal ball perspective in terms of what companies should be looking for. Because again, everybody wants to be lean. Everybody wants to be efficient with their time. The more information we can use or the more we can gather from those AI-driven aspects is going to be critical. You know, and I believe that especially in the B2C space and BDC, whether it be physical products, you know, info products, or really just anything.
Yeah, it hits the nail on the head. I feel like so many people go out and say, this is who my ideal customer is. And it's just so incorrect. They're fighting such an uphill battle because they're trying to serve the wrong persons.
I couldn't have said that any better. Yeah, they really are. And of course, with customer acquisition becoming more complex, right? And whether that's running via ads, whether that's social media, you know, you really have to figure out where you're going to spend your time. And unfortunately, you know, data analysis is not always something that's available to everybody. They don't just have 16 analysts sitting around in a room, you know, twiddling their thumbs. We definitely don't. I assume you guys don't.
No. Wish we did. But, you know, it's funny. We talk about what's coming, what are the things that are changing in our industry, but there are so many fundamentals of marketing and sales that kind of remain the same no matter how big your company gets. So what do you see as some of the big fundamentals of marketing and sales that do remain the same that people should not forget about when pursuing growth within their business?
To me, it really is the system side of things.
Yeah.
There's, of course, so much technology out there now, some great, some not so great. I think companies sometimes don't think about those areas early on. So whether, I'm not saying they have to go to somebody to Ameripost, but, you know, starting off with those very low cost products to automate a lot. So I'll give you a better example. A friend of mine runs a social media business and he was doing everything through email and, you know, and even sometimes things like WhatsApp or Skype and such in terms of communicating with his customers. And funny enough, I am one of his customers, so it's easy for me to share the example.
Uh-huh.
You know, the first thing I said to him is, listen, I can't be putting in requests via WhatsApp chat, you know, get yourself a ticket system, you know what I mean? So it just keeps things organized. You don't forget about them. It sends you notifications, you know, so that, of course, is a very, very smaller company and they're just in the infancy stages. But the faster they move into, okay, it's only going to cost us, you know, $20 or $40 a month to have this product, how much time is that going to save us, right? Just in terms of, okay, what did I talk to Ross or what did I talk to Garrett about last? And where is that chat? And where was that request he put in? I mean, just spending, I'd say, a few hundred dollars a month on those critical solutions that are just going to save you a ton of time and keep you organized. I think that's definitely a starting point for anybody, just as a fundamental. And of course, as you move up the chain, the conversation becomes more, okay, well, I've had, and I hear this a lot in sort of the digital marketing community, you know, I've already had three successful or five successful startups or launches or whatever we want to call them. What I've noticed is that a few people who come from that background, they say, you know, I'm not going to start with the $20 product, even though the company has zero revenue today. I know my playbook or my strategy works. So I'm going to invest in a $1,000 a month or a $2,000 a month product. So that way, when I get to, you know, a million or 2 million or 5 million or 10 million in revenue very quickly, I'm not stepping back and dealing with this nightmare because those weren't the solutions, you know, that we purchased day one. We bought the solution that's going to take us to $30 million as an example.
Right.
And actually going back to one of your earlier questions, that from around the growth standpoint, that's something we certainly did as well. Is we would go out and say, you know, this is definitely not in our budget and we're going to maybe regret this in some form from a cash flow perspective. But we did it. And thankfully, I would never regret any of those because it removed so many headaches that I know we would have run into, you know, trying to cobble things together or duct tape them together or whatever analogy we want to use there over the first 6, 12, 24 months of building a business, not just our business.
Right. I totally agree. You know, and one of the things that I kind of want to pull from that is looking outside of just the technology and the investment in technology and figuring out which solutions work for you. But outside of that, what advice do you really have for entrepreneurs? You know, we have a lot of people who listen to this podcast who are starting a business or thinking about starting a business. So, you know, going back to those early stages of starting a business and kind of pulling from some of your experiences, what advice do you have for those entrepreneurs who are in those early stages right now and making that leap to create something?
Yeah. So it's really threefold. Of course, what I just mentioned around putting those systems in place and of course, deciding on or potentially investing in, you know, I'm not going to say higher end, but a higher level solution than you think you might need in those early stages, because again, it's going to remove that stress, that anxiety, and that panic as you're growing, potentially, if you have the right partners. The second one is just adapting very quickly. I have noticed that a lot of organizations, again, in sort of that, I wouldn't say too early, but, you know, more in that, let's call it 500 to 2 million range, which can be classified as early to some, depending on who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Being able to adapt quickly to the next stage of product solutions, of course, team members and strategies that you need to implement, you know, is critical. You know, a lot of people second guess themselves. They question it. Always go with your gut is certainly my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. If the path seems very clear to you, everybody else will understand in due time, even if they don't today. So that's certainly another area. And of course, investing in your team, you know, that can sometimes be difficult because people or human capital costs are certainly the highest in almost every business I've ever looked at.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's give and take there, but as an individual entrepreneur looking for a number two, you know, or COO or president or whatever title you end up assigning them, that can certainly be critical to your own sanity, for one, which is, of course, always nice to maintain.
Absolutely.
And again, of course, as you grow, right? So in growing Maripost, you know, a lot of it was surrounding myself. I do have a co-founder who's on the technology side of things. But again, he was very focused on that area and, of course, very critical part to the business.
Yeah.
Do I sometimes wish I had a few more people there to, again, follow on that journey, something we were talking about earlier? You know, I do, because things would have gone faster in terms of having multiple, literally just multiple heads and with a single focus.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that looking at that sooner than later is always critical, and be willing to spend a little bit more money or spend a little bit more equity or spend a little bit more from a bonus perspective to get a higher caliber individual can sometimes be a massive kind of benefit to, again, the entrepreneur themselves, both personally and the business.
I feel like that is one of those things that it's a scary leap to invest in people because you really don't know. But if you can get the right person in the room with you to make those big decisions, to at least just be a sounding board, it is so important. So, all right, Ross, well, this is my favorite question. We ask everybody who comes on the show the same question. So if you could go back in time and talk to your 25-year-old self, what would you tell him?
It would have been what I just said, actually, to have invested in people a little bit earlier on.
Okay.
And again, for the same reasons, we would have, again, we had such massive growth, or we've had such massive growth that it's hard for me to say, but we would have grown faster, from my opinion, and not faster necessarily from just the sales and revenue side of things. But again, just to kind of reiterate, things that were sort of falling off, maybe process procedure related items, you know, the less critical areas of a business, or when I say critical, I mean from a growth perspective, HR, the finance, the process driven departments within an organization that are still, of course, very much important and very much critical, sometimes take a backseat to sales, marketing, and customer service or support.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could have gone back and put together a bit more of a framework there, I think that would have been the one key area I would have told myself.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
And of course, invest in companies X, Y, and Z because now they're worth.
Of course. That's the back to the future too scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, Ross, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. Last question of the day. Where can people find out more about you, your company, and what y'all are working on?
Yeah, I'd say from a company perspective, of course, www.maripost.com is certainly the best place to just understand us as an organization, our products, of course, that we have multiple of it at this stage, but really finding out what we're all about would certainly be from our site and reaching out to us, of course, whether that be to sales or marketing at maripost.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
And for myself, I'd say the same being our site as well as probably my Instagram, which is just at Ross Andrew. So I really kind of chronicle most of the things I'm doing with my life now, whether they be business, you know, within the organizations that I want to support globally. And of course, come see us when we're at Traffic and Conversion as one of the premier sponsors there and partners of Digital Marketer. We, of course, love to meet with people in person. So we'd love to see anybody there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a great, great Traffic and Conversion Summit again this year. It's going to be great having y'all out there to share the stages with. So can't wait for that. And again, yeah, everyone come and see us, see Maripost at Traffic and Conversion Summit. It's going to be a great time. Well, again, thank you so much, Ross, for coming on the show. You answered a lot of questions that I think a lot of people are going to get some great value out of. So thanks again. And hopefully we'll have you back on the show soon sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Digital Marketer Podcast. For more information and show notes, go to digitalmarketer.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up. Because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and 3 unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.